is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
It's Friday edition of the Cliffo and Bronte. I should be more excited, shouldn't
I? Yeah, come on.
It's the Friday edition of the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
It's Friday.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Pod on Friday.
Yeah. It's Rebecca Black.
Yep, she's right here.
We can.
The embodiment.
Really get by without that in our lives, can't we, eh?
So rude. God,
the less Rebecca Black, the happier we generally are.
Whoa. Why are you being such a hater on Rebecca Black? That song got me through my first year of uni.
Says a lot. Today on the pod, what got stuck in your ear?
Ooh, that song in my first year of uni.
Talking about earworms. We crossed live to the UK, bit of coronation chats.
Exciting. Plus, what got lost in the post? Oof. So many things.
We have a couple of Cowboys have a crack at can you beat Bronte ahead of CYBB Champions League.
Kibber.
Which starts on Monday as
it
well.
Does,
so
it does.
Hang about, big old Cliffo and Bronte podcast for your Friday.
This is your Sick Fix at 6.
We've always known that Australian beaches are pretty superior when it comes to beaches across the world.
Yeah.
And I think we've proved it once and for all and definitely have it over our neighbours in the US.
Yeah. Can I just say too, while we're on this, I think you raised a good point there, and this is a good little Aussie flex.
Yes.
Whenever you watch like a British movie or whatever, and they go to the beach.
In Brighton.
Oh, God, aren't they? They're like rocks.
They're on stones. They're like lying on
this
stones.
Awful freezing cold water.
Yep.
Sorry to diss the motherland there. Producer Alicia.
Well, we've ditched England. We've dissed them now. We're going to diss the US, which is always a bit more fun. Because.
Theirs aren't great, are they? Right?
No. And they're about to get even worse. For months, Cliffo, researchers have been warning and following a giant, foul-smelling seaweed blob that is twice the width of the US, the entire US, and it has been heading towards the States, heading towards Florida, down the bottom of the States. And they're calling it sargasm, which is a scientific word, but it essentially means giant seaweed blob.
Oi, funny word, though.
Sargasm.
Sargasm.
Come on, science. You knew what you were doing.
Had a few of those in my tongue. Ew.
Don't know if you would want a sargasm because this seaweed blob is a naturally forming thing that happens, obviously, out in the ocean. But the thing that is the grossest part about it, you know when you get seaweed, like, stuck on you in the ocean, you're like, ugh. Imagine if that seaweed smelled like rotten eggs and emitted a gas that can be toxic. And it's just slowly heading towards America, heading towards Florida, just as tourist season is hitting because it's about to be summer over in the US. And so people are going to Florida and going to the beach down there and this gross seaweed blob is just slowly washing onto the shore.
How did it come to be?
This is...
Do we know? Like...
Yeah, so it's just a naturally forming thing that happens like miles and miles out into the ocean. And it's actually a result a lot of the time when it bunches together due to like the waste that's put into the ocean.
The microplastics, mate.
Exactly. So it links it all together. But this is the biggest one they've ever seen. Like I said, twice the width of the US itself. And so slowly as it's heading towards the shore, it breaks up and heads in clumps in this rotten egg smelling, gas emitting seaweed blob.
God. I'm just glad, like, when you said there's a stinking blob in the ocean, I was like, who's taking photos of me at the beach again? I know you've already done a Bronte's Sick Fix at 6 this morning.
Yeah, we're out of the time now.
You're about to get a Cliffo's Sick Fix after 7. Sick Fix after 6.
Okay.
Whoa. That is a nightmare. Because there's a story that's just, this is going to hit you right in the ear of all places.
Oh, my, the ear.
And look, I've read the whole story and it's quite in depth. There's a lot of stories doing the rounds, but the headline pretty much, it's one of those stories where the headline is the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to read you the headline. Horrifying moment. Doctors find a spider living in a woman's ear and a whole colony of its babies in there with it.
That's the headline?
That's the headline.
That's a big headline.
Look, I've scrolled down and you can see there's a video and there's photos, but this woman went into hospital and she was complaining that her ear was sore and she was hearing like...
Oh, stop.
Kind of sounds in her ear. Like right against the eardrum, I guess. So doctors get the little tubey camera thing.
Yeah, I love it.
And they're putting it in her ear and they're coming across what just looked like a waxy clump and hair. Yeah. You know, lots of hair in our ears. But they realize now that it wasn't hair they were looking at. It was web. Like it was spider web. And anyway, as they're putting this camera in, the mama spider goes all mama bear. Like, don't go in my babies.
I'm in my cave.
So she comes
out
and like kind of like has a little nip at the camera or whatever. And then you see its little babies.
Stop.
Living there in a nice warm spot. But haven't you heard those stats before that apparently like it happens to us all like multiple times throughout our lifetime when we're sleeping, creatures will climb into our ears for warmth and comfort.
Oh, do they climb out eventually?
I think so.
I guess so.
Just get a couple of hours kip and then out before you wake up.
You can see why. Like we said, they're nice, warm, damp areas.
Mm.
They try to make it cute by saying a spider was living in her ear. Like it had just rented the space.
Cute. It just moved in. What a sweetie.
I'm very paranoid about bugs and things in my ear because of stories like this.
I know you're not supposed to do it, but I am. And I think a lot of people who do our job do it because we wear these big over-ear headphones for multiple hours a day. So our ears get warm and dirty, you know.
Moist.
So I do the Q-tip thing.
We all do.
And there was one time, so backstory, my daughter was doing some craft thing and involved a lot of glitter. Like she was like a six-year-old girl at the time.
The dream, yes.
Glitter was our life.
Yeah.
And she was doing it on the couch and she spilt it, must have been on like the cushion and stuff where I have my afternoon naps. So kid you not, next time I put the Q-tip in my ear and I pull it out, it comes out all waxy and glittery.
Perfect for Mardi Gras.
It's like, hello. I'm your earwax.
That's a nice thing to find in your ear. Not a spider and its babies.
Look, 13 10 60 got us thinking, what'd you get out of your ear?
What was in your ear?
Or maybe you were the one who had to do the extraction.
Yes. There's sometimes you see videos where friends are like, if they're camping or something, bugs will get in the ear and by firelight, people are getting bugs out of their friends' ears.
It's at this point I would say, you know, the HIT Network does advise that if this happens, seek advice from a medical professional.
Absolutely.
Don't just get Barry your neighbour with a pair of tweezers.
Depends how long the ambulance takes. You might have it.
But have a think about it. 13, 10, 60, if it's happened to you before or you've just been a witness to it, it can't just be this woman and the spiders.
Oh,
it can't
God,
just
no.
be me and my glitter.
No.
13, 10, 60, what's had to be extracted, like pulled out of an ear before?
Surely an ENT's listening.
Yeah.
What have you had to pull?
Who's got those little cameras?
Yeah.
I want to do that job, mate. You can fill up a whole TikTok with these videos. 13, 10, 60, Meg's here. Meg, your ear or someone else's ear?
Morning, guys. Somebody else's ear. I'm actually a nurse who works in a practice who does weekly ear syringing where we flush people's ears.
Oh,
wow.
Is this done, Meg, the ear flushing? Is it like a cosmetic thing or is it when people actually need things out of their ear?
It's more a discomfort thing where they just fill with wax and often we find funny little things that have somehow found their way into people's ears.
What's the weirdest
thing you found in an ear?
So two come to mind. One is a green ant.
Oh.
Yeah, no,
and the other is a tip of a hearing aid that had been in his ears so long it had encapsulated and he had no idea.
Well, he could hear again, so he was happy about
it. Best hearing in Australia. He's like, what's that? I heard that.
Couldn't hear the green ant, though.
Cassie's here. Cassie, was it your ear or someone else's ear?
My daughter's ear.
What was it?
So we were standing on the patio and she started screaming that something flew into her ear and I thought she was just being dramatic and I said, no, you're fine. And then I started seeing some blood coming out of her ear and my sister shone a light in there and it was a ground cockroach and it was like trying to burrow.
So
We've just quickly poured some water in her ear, and it's backed out like with its big bum first.
Yeah.
And I've tried to kill it, and I've put her on the couch. I said, it's fine, it's dead. And then here it comes, half dead, crawling towards her again, and she's screaming like, you liar!
It's like a horror movie, Cassie. She would told her right. Can we get a welfare check on Cassie's
cockroach
daughter, please?
Is like stumbling towards it on its last leg.
Like Terminator, when his legs are blown off, still crawling towards that ear, that sweet, sweet ear canal. Jacinta, what did you find in your ear?
Hi, it wasn't my dad's ear. It wasn't my ear. It was actually my dad's ear.
Mm-hmm.
We're having dinner at our house, and we had a few friends over, and he was joking, and he said, oh, my gosh, a moth just flew into my ear, and he ended up just being joking, mm-hmm. and not only 5 or 10 seconds later, a moth actually did fly into his ear, so he's once again done that, and he was like, boy called wolf.
Yeah.
And so we were like, yeah, right, whatever. Ends up being that this massive moth had flew into his ear and he needed to go to ER to get it removed.
Oh my God.
And he's kept the moth as a little prize. But
that's nice. That's the universe being like, yeah, you want to joke about a moth?
That's a moth listening in going, righto, funny boy. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's tango.
You want to do it?
Chris is here. Chris, what was in your ear that just wasn't supposed to be?
It wasn't my ear. It was a cousin of mine. It was a family story. Dad used to snore, so she put peas up Dad's nose to stop him from snoring, and he had to go to hospital to get him surgically removed.
Different canal.
Look, technically an ear story, but we'll take any hole.
36 hours approximately, Cliffo, that King Charles will officially be coronated, a very special day he's been waiting a long time for. And it's all going to be covered on 7 News. They've got a special, The Coronation of King Charles III, from 4 p.m. this Saturday. Hugh Whitfeld joins us from London. Good morning, Hugh, or good evening, actually.
Good morning, guys. Yes, good evening to you, mate.
So it is tomorrow night, our time. The biggest night of King Charles's life. How long has he been waiting for this, Hugh?
Well, 74 years, and he's been heir apparent for nearly 71 years. So it is the longest apprenticeship that anyone can really ever serve. And obviously, I mean, unfortunately for him, it's taken the death of his mother for him to step up. But for anyone who's been in a family business, that's kind of how it works. Mm. And he now is not just King of the United Kingdom and King of Australia and Canada and New Zealand, but he's the leader of this family, the patriarch of what is a, you know, some of them are a bit of a rabble-rousers. Some of them get into a bit of a trouble. But there's a few of them who do some decent work as well.
And we're hearing that it's going to be a bit of a different ceremony in terms of a bit more sustainable, maybe. Not the right word. But he's looking to do things a bit differently, including just kind of dressing down the whole ceremony, apparently.
Yeah, look, I think compared to Queen Elizabeth, you can find it on YouTube or whatever, the 3.5-hour service for her coronation. It's going to be cut right down to 2 hours.
Mm.
A lot of the lords and ladies and earls and dukes, many of them haven't been invited. The crowd is from 8,000 down to 2,000.
Oh, wow.
So it will be a slimmed-down coronation, but still incredibly grand and probably, I mean, certainly nothing like anything we have seen in our lifetimes. And in terms of sustainability, yeah, I mean, even down to the holy oil that Charles will be anointed with by the Archbishop of Canterbury. In the past, it's used animal products. This time, it's olive oil taken from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. So he's trying to please everybody. Whether or not that works, who knows?
Oh.
But he's certainly having a good crack at it.
I like
he's
that.
The Captain Planet of the monarchy. any sign of Harry and what's Will's up to?
No sign of Harry, although we're expecting him to land probably later tonight, your time. He's only going to spend about 24 hours in the UK before jetting back to California. He's going to take advantage of the time difference between London and LA. He should actually get back in Saturday night while Archie is still awake to help blow out those birthday candles for his son. As for his older brother, Prince William, and the Princess of Wales, Kate, they've been out and about here in London. They actually caught the train into central London and they went to a pub in Soho. Now, at night, pubs in Soho are wild. Today, though, it was a little bit more sedated. William helped pull a pint, all to make note of the fact that Brits are expected to drink about 62 million pints of beer this weekend, spend billions of dollars in the pub to celebrate King Charles being crowned. And outside, huge crowds for William and Kate. They spent about 20 minutes shaking hands. I've never seen royals take so many selfies with people either, including a few Australians. It was unbelievable. They were so keen to engage and have a chat, and they were just on top form. And it certainly meant that a lot of those people who'd waited a couple of hours to see them were very happy.
Oh, I know. I saw a few selfies. I didn't think royals took selfies, but they do, and they do it very well.
I love the royal family. I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm settling in tomorrow night. I'm going to make the coronation quiche, make some popcorn. It's going to be great. You can watch all the coverage from 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon on 7 and 7 Plus. In the UK this morning, Hugh Whitfeld, thank you so much for your time.
No worries, guys. See you tomorrow.
Well, well, well. What do we got here, eh?
What's she doing?
Little sneaky Tay-Tay double play on hits.
Swifties, welcome aboard. This is your captain speaking.
It's me. It's
hits.
Hey.
Swifty and 50.
Everybody agrees.
She's in love. She's dating the 1975's Maddie Healy. Yeah. We've got to get all of her love songs out, and that means playing two back-to-back.
I'll bust into R&B Friday because I'm in love.
Exactly.
I can do whatever I want.
We're going to talk about that more in Trending, by the way, in about an hour.
But for now, you heard it, two Taylor Swift songs back-to-back.
Yep.
That's your cue to call 131060, 50K on the line and a trip for two to LA to see Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour.
Oh.
Do you remember how many we got through in
last week? I think we only got one extra one from the week before. So we've gone 5, 6, ideally what, this week we're gone 7.
Okay.
It's all over to the people on the phones. They just got to be quick, got to get on air.
So it's 30 seconds, quick as you can. So no chitty chat.
No, sorry.
Say anything down the phone.
We're usually polite.
We move on. Yeah.
Not today.
Not today. All right.
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
You good to go?
Yeah.
Time starts now. Jessica! Jessica, you're on standby. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Shakira's here. Hi, Shakira.
Oh my God, hi.
Beautiful. Jennifer, you're on the standby list.
Hello.
Hello. And Amy as well. Hi, Amy.
Woo, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sam, scream like you would if you were front row at a Tay-Tay concert.
Nice. Christine, hello, are you there?
Hello, Christine, it's me. Yay!
Hello, Christine, it's me. Sharon. Oh, are you there, Sharon?
Yay!
Yeah, get Sharon.
You're right, put her on.
We talk too much.
Well done. Who are you going with to LA if you win the major prize?
Oh, I don't know yet. It's a lucky dip.
Oh, true.
Everyone in Sharon's life, start behaving.
Mm-hmm. Could be you plus 50K to spend.
Ooh, yeah, exciting times.
Oh,
thank you.
You won't
You're
be
so
complaining
welcome.
About the cost of living crisis
no.
with 50K in your back pocket,
no,
Sharon.
No, no, no.
Well done, mate. Taylor Swift's new single, Lavender Haze, from Midnight, is out now. And keep listening for those Tay-Tay hits back to back. It's Swifty and 50, only on Hits. Bucks will be back on Monday morning, the 9th, 5, 6, 7, 8. Monday the 8th of May.
Nice, yes. And we'll still have $1,000. It's the week before Mother's Day, so imagine if you could spend $1,000 on the hardworking mother figure in your life.
Did we lock in a consolation prize? There was talk of that.
There was talk.
Yeah, we'll find out on Monday.
At the time of recording, unconfirmed.
We'll find out at 5 to 8 on Monday morning, no doubt. There may or may not be consolation prizes for Mother's Day.
Something that is confirmed, though. A clue.
Yes.
And a letter to answer 10 questions in 30 seconds. The Melbourne Storm.
Yeah. Melbourne Storm.
Melbourne Storm. Yeah, Melbourne get rid of storm. The and storm.
So M is your letter. Melbourne Storm is your free answer. So I would assume they want a rugby league club there.
That's a strong assumption there.
So anyway, Melbourne Storm, the free answer for Monday morning's Mother's Day Alpha Bucks on hit with maybe a consolation prize.
We don't know.
But we don't know for sure.
On the weekend, I have a hen's party, which should be very fun. And it the theme of the whole thing is like a long lunch in Positano. So like something Italian inspired is the dress code. And
that's a sick theme.
Isn't it?
That's awesome.
Can imagine the food is lots of limoncello and it's going to be bruschetta. Great. And I wanted to buy something to not only wear for that, but for the races that we have in a couple of weeks. And so I ordered a dress from this website that it says it's supposed to arrive on Monday.
Ooh.
But Australia Post has been pretty good recently when they say it's meant to arrive like on a certain day. I feel like it arrives a couple of days early. So I keep kind of refreshing the tracking. It's not looking good, but that's okay. I know it's coming. But when I last ordered from this website that I got this dress from, I like rediscovered that the last time I ordered, the dress that I bought never arrived. Okay. It just was one of those things.
How good are you doing, by the way, that you order a dress, doesn't arrive? Oh, I forgot about that.
No.
Nice to be you.
It was last year. It was when I lived in Canberra and I ordered this dress that I loved. I was so excited for it and I just was on sale. I'd been looking at it for a while, ordered it, bought it online. And then something went wrong in the process. I don't know. I don't even begin to understand. But it's just gone. And it's gone forever. And I will always wonder what happened to that dress, where it is in the world.
Up in the big change room in the sky now, my friend.
Oh, and it made me think, 13, 10, 60, it's a simple one. What got lost in the post?
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat.
I was wondering what you were doing on that side of the desk, not listening to my story. It's all worth it now.
I can do two things at once.
And that's it.
I am breaking the man stereotype.
There are things that I'm sure people have just come to accept. They're lost in the post forever. And maybe you're like me and you'll always hope that maybe it'll turn up one day.
Yeah. 13, 10, 60. Confession time.
Yeah.
I have had, now I've just got a quick one to confess to you. There was a box that, like, you know those Australia Post red and white boxes?
Yeah.
There was one sent to our place. Oh, it would have been a couple of months before Christmas, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And it was addressed to someone else. And it wasn't even the last owners of our house.
Right.
We get their mail all the time.
Uh-huh.
Redirection is a thing, guys. Like, get on that.
I haven't done that, but.
Oh, God, it's so annoying. Anyway, I never go to the post office, right? Never. Mm-hmm. And if there's any mail that needs to be redirected, I just write not at this address. Then I put it in the outgoing mail here at work, just in the little slot.
Okay.
But the box won't fit in the little slot. The box has been sitting in our garage.
Stop it.
From about, like I say, about 3 months before Christmas.
Clippo!
I mean, I couldn't even tell you where my nearest post office is.
Give it to me. I go there every other day to get a parcel.
Deal.
13, 10, 60. What got lost in the post?
Alex is here. Alex, how are you, mate?
Good. How are you going?
Oh, better than you. Dealing with Australia Post by the sounds of it, mate.
Oh, mate, I had a quite a fortunate Australia Post incident, actually.
Oh, what happened?
Good.
So I had a couple of frying pans that were, you know, those rock-style frying pans that the stoneware.
Oh, lovely.
So they were starting to wear and things were sticking. So I sent a feedback thing online to the company.
Mm.
Never heard back from them. So I called them and they said, no worries, we'll send you out two new ones. I sent photos and everything.
Mm.
And then my package arrives in the mail.
Mm.
I get home, open them up. Some beautiful pans with the stoneware, and then I realised that it was the wrong company.
So I had two
brand new beautiful stoneware frying pans from a company that didn't break in the first place.
Well, that is some good customer
service. That is some fantastic customer service, Alex.
I know, right? But I even sent them photos and they didn't realise they weren't their own.
Oh, well, my goodness.
They can't even read. That's like me receiving a photo of like someone else's child.
Yeah.
Like we have your kid at the police station or something going, oh, that's definitely my kid.
I'll go pick it up.
I'll go pick it up. Like they should know that. Kevin is next. Kevin, what got lost in the post?
A couple of years ago, I was working as a chef in Brisbane, and I ordered a very, very nice set of chef knives. They were red oak handled chef knives.
Ooh, lovely.
And I was waiting for about 3 months, and they still hadn't arrived.
Oh.
And I'm like patient. I'm like, they're coming from America. You know, they're gonna take its time.
Yeah.
And it's been 3 years later and it's still pending in my Australia Post app. They haven't.
Kevin.
I spent about $900.
Wow. You'll be moved on to another career. Not even chefing anymore when the knives arrive.
Probably Bessie doesn't have the knives
now,
when they arrive.
Right. Kira, what got lost in the post?
My wedding dress.
Oh, crap.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
It
wasn't good.
What happened?
So I had a bit of a shotgun wedding, 12 weeks out, ordered a wedding dress. And the website said it would only take 2 weeks to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Four weeks later, still waiting. So I'm messaging the company, trying to get, some answers. They said it had definitely been posted and everything. Probably just wait a few more days. Unfortunately, it never came. Even after the wedding, it didn't come. So a week out from the wedding, I'm wedding dress shopping and trying to get alterations done was a nightmare, but I got it done. So, yeah.
Oh, and the wedding dress never arrived.
No, I believe it was like back in the days when scams are first originally presented, sure.
Oh, how's the marriage? Still married?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's just end that there then.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.